This is going out to the whole wide west side. Know what I'm saying? Yeah. Break it down for me. Steady mobbing, rock, rock on. I was just a young boy living in the hub city. Eastside Compton. Back in the days when Ice Cube and Easy had everything. Talking about boy, you can't.
This is Marco. You're listening to AstroTalk on CITR 101.9 on the west side at UBC.
Too short, bumped in every super boat and told us all how to ride for the west coast. Come on, baby, where you at? Throw your gloves in the air and wave them like you just don't care. From LA to the bay, what you say? All day, every day, any damn day. Take a look around, we got the whole world locked down. No, 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 don't stop, we won't stop. Can't stop, ride or die. That's why I put it down for the west side.
Good afternoon, this is Marco, and we're in April and it's sunny today, so welcome. We're doing another episode of AstroTalk. So, I've got my website, going to be ready on April 25th, so I'm excited about that. Going to put my podcast on it, then I'm going to start doing other shows. But what I noticed is on my other shows, I would mix some topics. I would mix things like planet Earth or Mars or Jupiter, and then I talk about a black hole or some kind of supernova. So what I'm going to try to do is keep one topic on one show, because that's way, in that way, it's easier to place them on my website because I got different categories. So today, let's talk about black holes. Everybody knows what a black hole is. I think everybody knows. So we're going to talk about the Chandra X-ray Observatory that is observing a black hole. And later, going to talk a little bit about the Hubble spacecraft that's looking at some galaxies. So this is dated April 19th, which is yesterday. It's called the Arrhythmic Beating of a Black Hole Heart. And it's got a nice photo of a bunch of gray, no, bunch of bright, bright red, pink, and beautiful blue colors. And at the center here, I'm going to start reading the article. At the center of the Centaurus Galaxy, or Centaurus Galaxy Cluster, there is a large elliptical galaxy called NGC 4696. I wonder if they're going to say what its size in relation to the Milky Way. Anyway, I'll continue reading. Deeper still, there is a supermassive black hole within the core of this galaxy. New data from NASA's Chandra X-ray Observatory and other telescopes has revealed details about this giant black hole located some 145 million light years from Earth. Although the black hole itself is undetected, astronomers are learning about the impact it has on the galaxy, it inhabits, and the larger cluster around it. In some way, this black hole resembles a beating heart that pumps blood outward into the body via the arteries. Likewise, a black hole can inject matter and material into its host galaxy and beyond. By examining the details of the X-ray data from Chandra, scientists have found evidence for repeated bursts of energetic particles and jets generated by the supermassive black hole at the center of NGC 4696. So sometimes jets of energetic particles go out in opposite directions when matter is falling into the black hole. Now back to the article. These bursts create vast cavities in the hot gas that fills the space between the galaxies in the cluster. The bursts also create shock waves akin to sonic booms produced by high-speed airplanes, which travel tens of thousands of light years across the cluster. So let's just pause for a second. Here we are looking at a galaxy that is 145 million light years from Earth. Now that's a phenomenal distance. From the Sun to the Earth, it takes 8 seconds for light to travel. So that is not even a light year. So imagine 145 million light years. And imagine the energy this thing has created. We couldn't even imagine it. We could probably power the Earth for eons with the energy that's coming from this galaxy cluster. And the shock waves or bursts of sonic booms are traveling tens of thousands of light years across the cluster. So these are phenomenal things with so much energy, so much light, so much intensity, things, distance scales, energy scales we cannot even dream about. So back to the article. This composite image, and as I mentioned, it shows a beautiful image of red, nice bright red with pink and different hues of pink and a beautiful blue. It's just a gorgeous picture. But if we got anywhere near that, we would be toast. So back to the article. This composite image contains X-rays from Chandra red that reveals the hot gas in the cluster. So Chandra is revealing the red gas. And radio data from NCF's Carl G. Jansky, very large blue array telescope, and that is showing the blue colors. That shows high-energy particles produced by the black hole-powered jets. Visible light data from the Hubble Space Telescope, green, I don't know if I see green there, shows galaxies in the cluster as well as galaxies and stars. Outside, oh, now I do see the green, but the green is so much smaller. It's different little galaxies. So we have different galaxies around there shown in green, and they are really dwarfed by this huge black hole explosion. So in this particular photo, there is contributions from the Chandra X-ray telescope, the European NSF Carl G. Jansky Very Large Array, and the Hubble Space Telescope. So that's what often happens. Things, when they are imaged, different telescopes pick up the different X-ray or the different wavelengths of light, and they combine them into one beautiful photo. So if we only had Hubble, we could not see this. The details from the X-ray, which are the majority of the red of the picture. The red is the brightest, and there are more red in this picture than any other color. Those are picked up from other telescopes. So we could not see this without these other telescopes. So our forefathers before, when they didn't have X-ray telescopes and things like this, they couldn't imagine or hope to see as much as we can see now with the contribution from all these different telescopes. Now back to the article. Astronomers employed special processing to the X-ray data to emphasize the cavities visible in the hot gas. These cavities are labeled A through I in additional image, and the location of the black hole is labeled with a cross. The cavities that formed most recently are located nearest to the black hole, in particular, the ones labeled A and B. So again, let's pause for a second. We have something that is spewing out light and energy that sometimes in these black hole explosions, in a few seconds, they can produce as much energy as our sun can produce in a million years, or sometimes one black hole explosion can produce as much energy as our sun does in its lifetime. So again, there's phenomenal scales of energy, light, and distance in this article that talks about this exploding black hole, and it's something that we could not even fathom here on Earth with our minuscule time and distance scales. Okay, sorry, I lost my place. I'm scrolling and I made a boo-boo. So hang on a sec, please. There we go. Now back to the article. Sorry, there. The researchers estimate that these black hole bursts or beats have occurred every 5 to 10 million years. Besides the vastly different time scales, as I talked about before, these beats also differ from typical human heartbeats in not occurring at particularly regular intervals. So again, if we stop to think about this, these heartbeats are from this black hole are estimated to happen every 5 or 10 million years. So there's no way we can see another one. It's maybe our future fathers, that's what you call them. The people that come after us, millions of years, if we're still around, they could maybe see this. Back to the article. A different type of processing of the X-ray data reveals a sequence of curved and approximately equally spaced features in the hot gas. So again, this hot gas, it doesn't tell the temperature, but it could be millions and millions of degrees. At our sun's core, I believe it's about 12 million degrees Celsius. So that's very, very hot. So some of these things, for example, when a star progresses in its life cycle, these big stars that eventually go supernova, when they are fusing, they could be fusing gas at 100 million or a billion degrees. So the temperature scales here are also very, very hot, something that we could not fathom. Okay, back to the article. The features in the Centaurus cluster are similar to the ripples seen in the Perseus cluster of galaxies. I hope I pronounced that right. Perseus, I think. P-E-R-S-E-U-S. The pitch of the sound in Centaurus is extremely deep, corresponding to a discordant sound about 56 octaves below the notes near middle C. This corresponds to a slightly higher, by about one octave, pitch than the sound in the Perseus galaxy. Alternative explanations for these curved features include the effects of turbulence or magnetic field. The black hole also appears to have lifted up gas that has been enriched in elements generated in supernova explosions. The authors of the study of the Centaurus cluster created a map showing the density of elements heavier than hydrogen and helium. The brighter colors in the map show regions with the highest density of heavy element, and the darker colors show regions with a lower density of heavy elements. Be nice if I could get that map up. I'll see if I can. Therefore, regions with the highest density of heavy elements are located to the right of the black hole. A lower density of heavy elements near the black hole is consistent with the idea that enriched gas has been lifted out of the cluster center by bursting activity associated with the black hole. The energy produced by the black hole is also able to prevent the huge reservoir of hot gas from cooling. This has preserved large numbers of stars, or this has prevented larger number of stars from forming in the gas. I would have thought intuitively that if gas is hot, stars could form better. But here it says the gas and the dust clouds have to cool first before gases were formed. A paper describing these results was published in March 21st, 2016 issue of the Monthly Notices of the Royal Astronomical Society and is available online. The first author is Jeremy Sanders from the Max Planck Institute for Extraterrestrial Physics in Garching, Germany. So when I come back, I'm going to take a stab and do something totally new, but it's got to be in astrophysics or cosmology. So this is Marco. You're listening to Astro Talk on CITR 101.9.
Hi, this is Dick Valentine from Electric Six. You're listening to CITR 101.9, University of British Columbia. We're a problem, it's a problem solver. Guess who gets the call? Me and Saul. You're tuned in with a black revolver. Guess who dropped the ball? The writing's on the wall. The president of the Capitol Lady announced the Senate Green. From New York to Los Angeles and all points in between. Planning 50 million megawatts of gasoline.
You're back with Marco on Astro Talk on CITR 101.9 FM.
Welcome back. This is Marco. You're listening to Astro Talk on 101.9. Thank you. That was a fun show. Now, I'm going to just talk a little bit about Compton Gamma X-ray Observatory. It was launched in April 1991, so about 16 years ago. And the article is called This Week. It was dated April 5, so I missed it by a couple of weeks. So this week in 1991, Space Shuttle Atlantis and STS-37 launched from NASA's Kennedy Space Center. The primary mission objective of STS-37 was to deliver NASA's second-grade observatory, the Compton Gamma Ray Observatory. Here, Compton is being released from Atlantis's remote manipulator systems arm. So NASA has all these wonderful, magnificent observatories in space, and they bring us so much wonderful science and so many wonderful pictures, especially when you combine their particularly special vision. So NASA sees in X-rays, Hubble sees invisible light, and other observatories see like gamma rays or whatever. So we can see beautiful images. So I'm going to stick on the same thing and the same bend, and I'm going to talk about NASA's Chandra X-ray Observatory. So this article is dated March 30, 2017, and it's on www.nasa.gov. The name of the article is Mysterious Cosmos Explosion Puzzles Astronomers. And there's an animation of something called CDF-S Transient. So what is that? What is CDF-S Transient? Well, I'm going to find out now. A mysterious flash of X-rays has been discovered by NASA's Chandra X-ray Observatory in the deepest X-ray image ever obtained. Now, if we just pause for a second and think about this, somebody, some astronomer is viewing an object that's emitting an enormous amount of X-rays. Now, doesn't that sound exciting? Well, to me, it does. I'm an astronomer. So imagine we take X-rays and we have our bones X-rays, but then there are actual X-ray sources out there in the cosmos. Isn't that amazing? So now, again, NASA's Chandra X-ray Observatory has discovered the deepest X-ray image ever obtained. Or has taken the deepest X-ray image obtained. From what I see here, this thing is called CDF-S Transient. So we'll see what CDF-S Transient means. The X-ray source, located in a region of the sky, known as the Chandra Deep Field South. Or, oh, that's what Chandra CDF-S means. Chandra Deep Field South. So CDF-S has remarkable properties. So let's call it again, Chandra Deep Field South, or CDF-S Transient. Prior to October 2014, this source was not detected in X-rays, but then it erupted and became at least a factor of 1,000 times brighter in a few hours. After about a day, the source had faded completely below the sensitivity of Chandra. Thousands of hours of legacy data from the Hubble and Spitzer space telescopes helped determine that the event likely came from a faint small galaxy about 10.7 billion light years from Earth. So this eruption happened 10.7 billion years ago, and it just reached us recently. So this thing traveled 10.7 billion light years distance. Very, very far. It's quite exciting, not only, as I said, imaging X-ray objects in the sky, but something that happened 10.7 billion light years ago. That's amazing. Now back to the article. For a few minutes, the X-ray source produced 1,000 times more energy than all the stars in this galaxy. So as I said earlier, sometimes supernova explosions can produce, in a few seconds, they can produce as much energy as our sun does in its lifetime. Now this thing, for a few minutes, this X-ray source, dubbed CDF-S Transient, it produced 1,000 times more energy than all the stars in the Milky Way. Now, that's just amazing. So says Franz Bauer of the Pontifical Catholic University of Chile in San Diego, and quote, "Ever since discovering this source, we've been struggling to understand its origin." I guess so. Imagine something that produces more energy than all the stars in our galaxy. Wow, that's amazing. And it's likely we have a jigsaw puzzle, but we don't have all the pieces. So again, in the previous article, we have heartbeats of a black hole that occurs every 5 to 10 million years, time scales that we can't fathom. Now this thing occurred 10.7 billion years ago, and it's just recently discovered. And again, it has 1,000 times more energy than all the stars in our galaxy. So these are quantities that just blow us away. We can't even imagine it. Now, back to the article. Two of the three main possibilities to explain the X-ray source invoke gamma ray bursts, GRB events. GRBs are jetted explosions triggered either by the collapse of a massive star, so for a supernova explosion, or by the merger of a neutron star with another neutron star or a black hole. So imagine these kinds of things when a star, a huge star's collapse. I think I just heard the other day there was a star, I think it was 50 times the size of our sun, and it exploded in a black hole in a supernova explosion. Now, these are, these again are events like that I just talked about, where you have a collapse of a massive star, or the merger of two neutron stars, or the merger of a neutron star at a black hole. Enormous amounts of energy. We can't even begin to imagine how much energy we those things emit, because we don't deal with those type of quantities on our Pacific human Earth. But even though we don't deal with those, as far as we know, we're the only life on the universe. So we are amazing in itself, aren't we? If the jet is pointing towards the Earth, a burst of gamma ray is detected. As the jet expands, it loses energy and produces weaker, more isotropic radiation at X-ray and other wavelengths. Possible explanations for the CDF-S X-ray source, according to the researchers, are a gamma ray burst that is not pointed towards Earth, or a gamma ray burst that lies beyond the small galaxy. A third possibility is that a medium-sized black hole shredded a white dwarf star. So again, I don't go to work one day and say, hey, guess what? I just saw a medium-sized black hole shred a white dwarf star. That's amazing. But so these type of topics and these explanations, the time scales, energy scales, they're amazing. We can't even think of it. But just think of this. A medium-sized black hole shredding a white dwarf star. So ho-hum, huh? Sorry? A medium-sized black hole shredding a white dwarf star. Very ho-hum, like we see those every day, right? So, again, another author, a co-author, Ezekiel Triester, also of the Pontifical Catholic University, says, and quote, none of these ideas fits the data perfectly. So, again, we have to make models, astronomers have to make models, something that happened 10.7 billion years ago, something that is just record-breaking in terms of the energy it produces and how far it is away. It's amazing. And they're trying to make models. So back again, end quote. But then again, we've rarely, if ever, seen any of the proposed possibilities in actual data. So we don't understand them well at all. The mysterious, end quote. The mysterious X-ray source was not seen at any other time during the 2.5 months of exposure the Chandra has observed the CDF-S region, which has been spread out over the past 17 years. Moreover, in no similar events have yet to be found in Chandra observations of other parts of the sky. So they just pointed their telescope there and hoped to find something. Sometimes scientists actually say, well, this is my thesis, this is my hypothesis, and they point their telescope or they make a theory trying to explain what they are seeing or what they want to see or what they think they will see. This, they didn't even have a clue. They didn't know what it was. So back to the article. This X-ray source in the CDF-S has different properties from the as-yet-unexplained variable X-ray sources discovered in the elliptical galaxies NGSC 5128 or NGC. First one, I shouldn't have said NGC 5128 and NGC 4636 by Jimmy Irwin and collaborators. In particular, the CDF source is likely associated with the destruction of a neutron star, white dwarf, or massive star, and is roughly 100,000 times more luminous in X-rays. It is also located in a much smaller and younger host galaxy and is only detected during a single several-hour burst. So says co-author Kevin Schwazinski of ETH Zurich in Switzerland, end quote, we may have observed a completely new type of cataclysmic event whatever it is, a lot more observations are needed to work out what we're seeing. Additional highly targeted searches through the Chandra archive and those of the European Space Agency's XMM, Newton, and NASA's SWIFT satellite may uncover more examples of this type of variable objects that have until now gone unnoticed. Further X-ray observations by Chandra and other X-ray telescopes may also reveal the same phenomena from other objects. If the X-ray source was caused by a GRB triggered by GRB is gamma ray burst triggered by the merger of a neutron star with a black hole or another neutron star, then gravitational waves would also have been produced, which I would have thought it would have, but we have to detect them, don't we? If such an event were to occur much closer to Earth, within a few hundred million light years, it may be detectable with a laser interferometer gravitational wave observatory, LIGO. So LIGO observes and detects, it has detected two things now, and it's within a certain, its sensitivity is only within a certain distance scale. A paper describing this result appears in the June 2017 issue of the Monthly Notices of the Royal Astronomical Society and is available online. So today we talked about things way far away, astrophysics, and things that are in terms of distance, time, energy, other variables that we can't even fathom. We don't even deal in those. And we learned today about some interesting X-ray signals in the sky that are being looked at by the Chandra X-ray Observatory, but they're also, at the same time, they're twinning and tripling. They're getting other observatories to pick up data in other wavelengths of light. So remember, Chandra is one of my favorite, he's a hero of mine. Chandra Shubha, I'll just say his last name, Chandra Shekhar. He was a grad student who made a boat trip from, before 1920, he'd made a boat trip from Delhi, I think it was Delhi, from Mumbai, to London to start his master's. And on that boat ride, he figured out that a black hole or a neutron star could form. So anyway, but he was ostracized by other astronomers, most notably Eddington, and his theories, people thought, yeah, this guy's got something, but because Eddington had so much prestige, they couldn't contradict Eddington. So some of his theories just sat there for a while, and people picked up them later, but could have done a lot more quicker discovery if he hadn't been blocked. So anyway, now, thank you for listening. You have been listening to Astro Talk on CITR 101.19. And by next week, I should have my website. So thank you for listening. Talk to you next week. Hope to do more astrophysics next time we talk. Thank you. Bye.